is his first climate change discussion of the trip. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. That's President Biden in the Vatican. He and the Pope talked about the climate, and Francis also told him to keep receiving communion in the Catholic Church. Some U.S. bishops opposed that because of the Biden support for abortion rights. The president then met Italy's prime minister, now France's president. They could also discuss the climate. Fox's Simon Owen is live in Rome.
Yeah, Dave, climate change is at the center of the president's trip. He attends a G20 summit here in Rome and then a United Nations climate conference in Scotland. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres told me he believes the president's climate ambitions could have a global impact.
The American leadership is absolutely essential, and I hope that the American political institutions are able to do what is needed to create the conditions for that leadership to be effective.
This after disagreements among House Democrats over the president's climate and social spending plans. Dave?
Simon, one of 10 House Republicans who joined Democrats voting to impeach President Trump in January, Adam Kinzinger, is not going to run for re-election in Illinois. Congressman Kinzinger took a lot of heat from others in the GOP for that vote and for joining Democrats in the House committee investigating the deadly January Capitol attack. A week after the deadly shooting during a movie shoot in New Mexico,
Rust movie set armorer Hannah Gutierrez, through her attorneys, is denying rumors of after-hours target practice on set, saying the set would never have been compromised if live ammo were not introduced, and that Gutierrez has no idea where the live rounds came from, seemingly shifting the blame onto the producers of Rust.
Fox's Jeff Manasso. Alec Baldwin's one of those producers. The actor accidentally shot and killed the cinematographer after being told the gun was not loaded. Despite prices rising, consumer spending rose 0.6% last month. America's listening to Fox News.
Sometimes the world can seem a cold place, so we got to bring the warmth to it. Sometimes the world can seem a broken place, so we got to strive to fix it. At the end of the day, we are empowered to create the world we want to live in. So we prepare for the worst, but we must always, always expect the best. Smith & Wesson, empowering Americans.
Is your current home loan the right fit for you? Near historic low rates may be a great reason to refinance, but when matched with an expertly chosen loan from Loan Depot, you could be saving money and paying more towards the bottom line. Call a Loan Depot loan officer and ask about our 27-year smart term loan or our 10-year ARM loan. Get a great rate matched with a great loan by calling 866-888-LOAN or visit loandepot.com. At Loan Depot, home means everything. Rates are subject to change. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing opportunity. NMLS number 174457. Licensed in...
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. With 64 years of industry connections to have products in stock when others can't. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service, there's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center, and when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters. The best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals. You can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
Here's the news in 60 seconds, YumaDailyNews.com. The Yuma County Sheriff has released a list of their most popular suspects in the area. Take a look at the roundup of who deputies want to see behind bars. YumaDailyNews.com. Changes to your electric bill in Yuma might be coming sooner than you thought. Read more, YumaDailyNews.com. The Arizona Farm Bureau has done a feature on the Flying Farmers of Arizona. You can learn a little bit about Yuma's farming history in this fascinating article at YumaDailyNews.com. And the fairgrounds will be lit for the Scary and Safe trick-or-treat event this Sunday, which starts at 4 p.m. Admission is $1 per person or the Fast Pass for $5. Again, that's the fairgrounds this Sunday on Halloween. All proceeds will be donated to the Arizona Law Enforcement Torch Run for Special Olympics. Send your news tips to newsroom at humadailynews.com. We'll take a look. For now, that's the news. I'm Andrew Caravella.
Late October, high temperatures typically in the mid-80s, so we're running a little warm through the weekend, with today being the warmest day, 92 today. 90 the high tomorrow, 88 Sunday. COVID-19 is a dangerous threat, and vaccines aren't enough to protect you. Since fever is the leading sign of COVID-19, you need an accurate thermometer. Try Exergen, backed by more than 100 clinical studies. Learn more at Exergen.com. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Derek Egberg from Academy Mortgage. Tom with Yuma Investment Group. It's Money Talk. We're doing the dual segment this morning. Morning, Derek.
Morning. How are you doing?
Good, good. Another Friday, and this weather's holding up nicely.
Oh, thank heavens.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous.
I keep scrolling down for the week to see the big drop, and it's really going to be pretty nice.
Stop it. Don't jinx it yet, please.
Yeah.
Seriously.
But,
do you want me to cut off his mic?
Yeah, okay. Do that. Do that. And just don't wash your car either.
Because of the dew?
Because every time you wash your car, it seems to rain. So just don't wash your car.
We need to wash.
Hey, we need rain, yeah.
That is true.
So anyways, the big news yesterday that kind of hit the page was our GDP number came out, and it came in at 2%. And prior to that, it was, 6.667%. So that was a big miss. Interesting enough, it was a big miss, but the market was up yesterday. And I know you guys don't follow it closely, but can you guess why? If the number came in not so hot, but the market had a pretty good day yesterday.
We gave a lot away, a lot of federal money.
Well, so before Biden went on his trip to Europe, he was trying to pass the money spending law.
Right.
So he took another run at it, and it didn't work. So the market responded, with a little clap, not taking on more debt, I guess. But it's a scary thing because we haven't had. And the definition of a recession is two negative quarters of GDP. That's where the GDP contracts. And we haven't had one in 121 months. Now, we've had a downturn in the market due to COVID, which wasn't a recession. It was more to the scare of COVID. So, in the 1990s, that was the last big bull run. It lasted 111 months. And now we're at 121 months. What does that tell you?
It tells me there's been a lot of government money propping this thing up, and it's going to dry up, and watch out.
So, there's a theory that whenever government tries to control economics, they can, but when they let it go, it will rebound back the other way quicker. Meaning, if they push down, it will push up. So, usually there's an inverse. Things can get uglier, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, you talk about money propping up the entire system. Look at what the Fed has done with the balance sheet, buying mortgage-backed securities and even commercial paper. I mean, do you understand the size of the number of what the Fed is currently holding on their balance sheet?
Yeah, and you notice
Do either of you know the number right now? $8.5 trillion.
That's a lot.
That's a huge, and that's just on the balance sheet, but that's paper, that's investments that they bought. That's not, it is debt, but that's how you've propped up the commercial paper, mortgage-backed securities. I mean, all of the rates that you and I see right now, it's not necessarily because they've dropped the Fed funds rate down to zero, which they did for a while. But it's also because now they've been purchasing all of those bonds, and what did they say they're going to do in November? Now, you talked about when the government, pushes down, What did they say they're going to do in November?
Stop buying the bonds. Right?
They're going to start tapering, and that's their word for they're going to slow down the purchase. Now, what they've said is they're going to reinvest the money, the runoff, so as things pay off and get sold, they're going to reinvest that. So it's not going to be an instantaneous, but you watch, rates are going to continue drifting northwards, and we've talked about it. Rates are up considerably percentage-wise from a year ago, same as a gallon of gasoline. How do you suck money out of people's pockets faster?
Inflation.
So gasoline prices are up. That hurts the low-income person much more than it hurts the high-income person. What happens when mortgage interest rates go from 2.75% to, say, 3.5% to 4%?
That whole industry changes to building stocks, all that.
Now, people can't afford to buy a house, or some people.
Some people don't, or you slide down the scale, if you will, so you move from a, you know, 5-bedroom, 3-bath down to a 4-bedroom, 2-bath, you know, those kinds of things.
And it's also going to affect the price of homes because less people are buying. That market's going to flip to where it's a seller's market, not a buyer's market. We've seen that happen.
See, now, the interesting thing is the big market, as you know, and they're saying buying houses is going to be the millennials. And those guys usually start at a beginning house. I mean, they don't buy the 5-bedroom house, I don't think. So it's going to affect the lower end, like you said, harder. And that means the millennials are going to have a hard time getting the first house, or they might have to buy a townhome or condo or something a lot less.
They are. And here's what we, again, talk about regional or locality. You know, we do all these numbers and we talk about nationwide, here's the interest rate. Nationwide, here's the potential growth. Here's X, Y, or Z. But people are moving to Arizona, New Mexico, Texas. People are shifting where they're living. And so, I can't tell you how many times I see people moving from California that say, wow, these prices are so cheap. They're so affordable. And you and I look at some of the house prices and go, wow, I never thought I'd see that ever. And so you talk about the millennial that may be here in Yuma, Arizona, that goes, wow, I don't know that I can afford anything. And some of these millennials are just past that are moving here that can still telecommute. They go, oh, my gosh, look at the amazing house I can get for cheap. So, you know, there's going to be some pressure on prices, but I don't think in areas such as a Yuma, such as a Phoenix, such as, say, a Dallas, Texas, the sand states in the lower Midwest, if you will, that people are driving to, I don't think you're going to see as much of a price pressure as you would in, say, San Diego, L.A., as people are moving out of those areas.
Yeah, and not only is it about being able to afford a house, you also got to look at the taxes on the house. And if you compare what Arizona pays compared to, again, California, I mean, it's kind of night and day, right? Triple or so? Because it's a percentage of what the value of the house is in California.
Typically, Prop 13 over there says your taxes will become 1% of the sales price. So, yes.
If you buy a $1 million house, you're paying $10,000 a year in taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly what it is in Arizona, but it's not even close to that.
Well, it depends on neighborhood by neighborhood because of the way the formulas work. So I do see some $300,000 and $400,000 homes that the taxes are, you know, $3,000 to $3,500. So it's not that far off in some areas. But it's interesting that you and I look at other areas of the country. Let's say Wisconsin, you see some $300,000 and $400,000 homes that the taxes are $7,000, $8,000, $9,000. Now, there's income tax issues versus personal property tax issues. So obviously every state has it differently. But the amazing thing to me that you watch, that you and I talk about, oh my gosh, the price of a home and what the payment is going to be when interest rates go up. But there's a whole group of people out there, say Californians, that see how much less expensive it is here. And that's the one thing that we have to factor in is I still see people say, I'm going to wait for prices to pull back. I don't think they're pulling back here in Yuma, Arizona anytime soon.
Not for a while.
Yeah, I mean, you being in the trenches every day, seeing who's buying houses and the such, and you said a lot more out-of-state people are coming to Yuma, you're probably right. You know, they're going to keep the house prices propped up. And then builders aren't building it quick enough here in Yuma yet, right?
It's hard to build fast enough. There's waiting lists, and you just, I mean, a lot of them, you drive down the road, they all say now hiring, there's not enough labor to build them fast enough.
Lumber prices came down a little bit.
They have come down quite a bit. But again, it's the full package of the input resources, and the labor is really difficult to find. So, you know what? We got to take another break. Russ is waving wildly at us. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Is a college education a dream you hold for your newborn? It's important to take steps to begin meeting this financial challenge. To learn about flexible college savings programs, contact Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They can help you plan today so you're prepared for tomorrow's college expenses. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek, Tom, and Russ here in studio. We're talking mortgage, credit, the market, anything that comes to mind here on a gorgeous Friday morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. So one of the things that concerns me is a lot of these businesses pay their bills January through October, but November, December, especially on the retail side, are tied to Christmas, and that's kind of where where they make their money. And if the inventories don't hit the shelves, then this could be a pretty dismal Christmas. And that, you know, with the GDP number at 2%, it won't take too much to turn that into a zero or negative. So I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't shop. My wife does most of the shopping. But have you guys seen that around Yuma? I mean, any of the problems with things being on the shelves or anything?
I've seen some, you know, spotty stuff, you know, particularly automotive commodities and other commodities. There's 167 ships offshore right now in Long Beach, and they're just not unloading them. And that's going to be a problem for everybody.
I read something. They said L.A. and Long Beach, they provide 40% of all the shipping containers coming to the U.S.,
wow,
which is a pretty big number, 40%.
Well, when you got that many setting off, and I mean, those things are racking up fees like crazy. I don't know what they're spending.
Yeah, what do you do to maintain those things sitting out there?
Well, it's not like that. I mean, people paid for their shipment to be there. They can't get into port. And my understanding from talking to truck drivers is the reason that they can't get into port is because there's no customs agents that are unloading them. Is you can't unload a ship without a customs agent sitting there. And the administration has pulled back customs agents.
Hmm. Why is that because they change professions, or they?
I don't know. They're not. No one's given an explanation. I'm hearing this anecdotally from truck drivers and things.
Wow.
You know, Biden says he's going to open up the ports 24 hours. Well, they used to always be open 24 hours. You know, I was in trucking for years, and I've never heard of a big distribution point that wasn't open 24 hours. So the fact that they were not open 24 hours was a shock to me.
Other than that, I haven't really been in stores, same as yourself. I mean, it's interesting.
Like a Target or something, is there...
What's interesting is I'm the couple times I've been in, you see the, hey, let's limit some paper goods again. And so I'm starting to hear that from some of my staff as well. And yet, you know, the big talk is you go to one of the big box stores and you see somebody walking out with 17 cases of toilet paper and they're stocking up. And, you know, when things go haywire, apparently you got to have a clean bum or something. I'm not really sure how that works. At the same time, Russ is crumpling up paper. That was good paper, Russ.
Yeah,
don't get rid of that.
That's a little recycle that you might use for the future.
Right?
Well, I think it's about keeping your wife happy. Wives get upset when there's no toilet paper, you know.
Yeah.
If there's a shortage on that, it's a bad deal. It's a bad day.
It could be. But, you know, again, I just don't know what to believe anymore on some of this stuff. Because, like you say, is it a custom agent? And you hear you can't be an owner-operator truck driver down in the port. It has to be an employee.
Nobody's making less of this stuff.
No.
They're making as much or more than they've ever made. So why the shortage? You know, you're right. Doesn't make sense.
No sense whatsoever.
That's a federal position, right? The guys that aren't going down there.
Yeah, Homeland Security control.
So that could be an internal, hey, pull the boys back, let this thing melt down.
Could be.
Because any time there's a huge crisis, like, you know, 9/11 was a crisis, you know, that's some of the government swamp people look for that, because that's an opportunity to make changes and take back power, right? So, hey, let's talk about locally. So there hasn't been any apartment complexes built in Yuma, I think, since 1986, I believe someone said.
Wow.
Like a big, you know, couple hundred units. So the building went out at the Walmart on 32nd, and it's a pretty big one. I think it goes in a couple phases, but that's already on the works to be done. I was at a betteryuma.org meeting, and the city was in there talking, Phil was, and one of the things that came up is, you know, that a lot of times these multifamily apartment complexes or that aren't being built because the way it's set up, it's not as friendly to do, and there's more cost involved, so it's easier for these contractors to go out and build 50 houses and then try to just build one 50 complex or, you know, unit. So the city is going back and kind of revamping the procedure and how it works. So I think they know that there's a need with the workers in town, the labor workers in that. No one necessarily needs a house. They just need a place to stay. So we should start seeing more and more of these big, you know, multifamily, whether they're big or small, start coming into Yuma. And then I don't know if you guys know downtown, but a week and a half or so ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, they passed an ordinance where before, if you're going to build downtown and it was a residential or multifamily, you had to show that you had parking space to do it. And if you didn't have parking space, then it pretty much wouldn't approve it.
Mm-hmm.
So they turned that around, or we stated the charter, however it worked. But that basically means that you can build downtown without having parking spaces. And the purpose of that is, you know, they think at some point maybe some type of downtown living, like lofts or maybe a 3-4 story building kind of thing, like you see in other places like downtown Colorado or such.
Yeah.
So it's moving. I mean, it seems like Yuma's embracing that kind of lifestyle.
You embrace it? You think it's a good thing to do it without parking?
In a nutshell, I do. But yeah, there is going to be a parking issue because there's only so much parking downtown.
Yeah, there already is.
Yeah, so the solution is going to be how to fix the parking issue. And really, in a nutshell, you need to get some parking like they have over at the hospital where it's multi-story parking. But if the more people that go down there will push the issue, and we'll probably solve that problem. So long-term, I think it's good. I mean,
well, long-term, I think it's good, too. And I think long-term, as this advancement to self-driving electric cars and all that, the car ownership is, you know, they're predicting in 20 years, 15, 20 years, which isn't that far. I've known you guys longer. But there might not be a car ownership issue in the United States. Like, everyone owns a car right now.
Yeah, yeah. You trade, you just...
Yeah. You know, we'll become like D.C. In D.C., I know many people who live in D.C. that do not own cars.
They just
isn't practical.
Now, how? Let's pretend it's today, right now today. Would either of you feel okay about electronically summoning a car and having a driverless car pick you up and take you wherever else you wanted to go?
I feel like royalty.
Now, it's not driverless, though. Isn't it the fact that you can you have a key box and they give you the code?
No. If you look up what the industry is talking about, I mean, like the self-driving Teslas right now, they're working towards getting it where there's no driver whatsoever.
Just like you would summon an Uber. You just get on the thing and the car shows up with nobody in it.
Remember the cartoon Jetsons?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Just like that.
Yeah.
And now, assuming that's our future, and if that is our future, parking's going to be obsolete. So I would be okay with it.
Yeah. But, you know, anytime there is a parking problem, then you got to build parking garages. I mean,
that's exactly the solution.
I mean, there's not, you know, not a lot of land downtown in the sense the railroad track, the river, you know, mm-hmm. kind of, so they have to come to some conclusions. But I think what's happening is people are starting to embrace the fact that there's going to be some urban lifestyle living, and you know, some people don't want to have a yard.
And I guarantee people who live in urban areas don't have cars. A lot of them, they just don't own them.
Yeah, and I'm sure you know you walk around, especially downtown. You could probably go to restaurants, bars, do whatever, and walk home, and you don't have to worry about, you know, the whole drinking and driving thing. So
right.
I think it's gonna come here pretty quick.
Yeah.
So when do you see that happening?
Well, there's already a project downtown that involves two buildings that are gonna be lofts. I don't know if you heard of them. Across from the Mexican food place down there next to Jimmy D's, there's that lot that's like a sump. It looks like a retention lot.
Mm-hmm.
I guess like 10 feet deep or that. So they're going to build, a guy's already submitted plans and worked with the city, that he's going to build retail on the bottom, and then lofts in the middle, and then the top's going to be a restaurant. And it's a nice building. I mean, he showed it. It's red bricks, so it's going to be a brick building, red bricks, and it's going to be one of the main nice buildings downtown. Mm-hmm. And then you know where the Drake Hotel is, which is across from Jimmy D's?
Mm-hmm.
He bought that. He was going to refurbish it, but after they did more testing on the walls with the cement and that, the stuff was 100 years old and it didn't hold up. So he's going to have to demolish that, and then he's going to build, I think, a 3 or 4 story loft living. And it's going to be higher-end living in the sense that, you know, he's looking for maybe some of the federal judges that have to stay down there, or maybe in a higher military that can have a little... You know, it's not going to be cheap living, but it's going to be nice lofts.
They were looking to build something high-end, nice apartments out by the college for college professors and things. And I got killed by a local community, didn't want the traffic, but they have been looking at higher-end. I mean, we think of apartment buildings being for you know, those that couldn't afford something, but that's not the case.
Yeah. So, you know, that should be done within, you know, a year or so. I mean, they're already at the point of... getting the contractors together and such. And that's actually where the parking thing came up, because once the city read the rules, they realized that he wouldn't have been able to do it because he needed a couple more parking spaces. So that's where they kind of went back and revamped it. And anyways.
Now, is that just for, say, the downtown district then, or are they changing things throughout the city of Yuma? Do you know?
I'm not sure, but I think it's more downtown. But that doesn't mean that can be spread out. But
I think this was still an exception. It's not a. They didn't change a policy. They just made an exception from it.
No, they changed it.
They changed the policy?
2 weeks ago they did. Oh. Where if you do, you know, residential downtown, you don't have to have parking.
Wow.
I mean, and I might be telling you, you know, but for the most part, it was an actual change. It wasn't an exception. Yeah, but I think they're looking for more growth, you know, downtown. And if you live downtown, you're going to, you know, use the places down there more. So, anyways, we'll take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Hey, Yuma Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. It is 8:33. We've wasted a half hour already. I don't understand how the time goes this fast.
I don't know where it went.
Tom Rush, Derek Eggeberg, Russ Clark, all in studio talking all kinds of nonsense, really. Things that we can discuss and can't do anything about, really. So you were talking earlier about just the market, and the market was up yesterday, even though the GDP numbers were down.
Lower than expected, yeah.
What does that tell you? You know, for the average American out here who's listening to this, should we take stock in that? Should we be doing anything? Should we be calling you and saying, hey, Tom, we need to do an annual review of our portfolio, and hey, do I need to shift things? Because I know you guys talk about that.
I would definitely be rebalancing because, you know, the market has taken a good run over the last 10 years. I think what it means to me is we're probably going to see stagflation. That sounds like a pretty cool term.
You got to explain that because not a lot of people know what that is.
Yeah. So inflation, you know, we know the price is going up, costs people more to live, so we know what that is. Stagflation is a stagnant economy, and it basically means a weak economy. So they put those two together, stagflation, stagnant economy. So what happens is prices go higher and then the economy gets weaker and no one can will go out and try to buy more products. And it's kind of like a spiraling effect. I mean, if you're not doing as well and prices just go up, you're going to say, well, I don't really need that, you know, extra case of Pepsi or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it just stagnates the economy even more. Now, one interesting thing is when you hit a recession with inflation, it prolongs the recession. And to give you an idea, from 1949 to 2020, the average downturn in a recession was about 9 months. You just took an average. And in the late 60s and the 70s, when they had more inflation, it lasted close to 24 months. So if this inflation continues to be a problem and go up, don't expect a quick rebound like we've done in the past. It could be a little longer.
What do you think it's going to do?
You mean as far as
the inflation, you think it's going to continue? You know,
yeah.
At first, the administration said, oh, it's just transitory.
It's going to continue. Think about the definition. So got this embedded in my head from college. They made us memorize this. Inflation is too many dollars chasing too few goods.
Right.
That's it. You know. So if you think about it, too many dollars, we pumped in, you know, $2 to $4 trillion in the system. So that we can't deny that that's not happening. And then too few goods. I mean, look what's happening. Well, the COVID thing stunted, you know, supply, you know,
for a while.
But now we got, you know, the shipping problem. So, yeah, it's a perfect storm for inflation, I think. I mean, yeah. So now how long will it last in that? You know, it depends. But I don't see this going away anytime soon, you know.
No, we're set up for some trouble potentially. So
now you were saying something, though, that you were even seeing having a hard time getting parts.
Yes.
So, a few parts, a lot of parts.
It's random. It's popular. It's cross. It makes no sense. Even tires. And tires is an example. A lot of trucks out there running the same tire. Very popular tire. And you would think that pipeline's always full because they make so many of them. And at times they dry up and you can't get a tire. It may last a week until the buy is replenished, but it's never happened before. But then, obviously, the oddballs that, for high-end sports cars where there's not very many of them.
Now, have you noticed the tire prices have gone up? I mean, who wouldn't increase prices?
Everything's gone up. Electronic parts, you know, particularly with the computer chips and stuff, very spotty, very hard to get type things. But it's just oddball. It's just oddball. You go into these stores and stuff they've never been out before. It's like a convenience store being out of bread.
Mm. So 75% of the GDP number, gross domestic product, is based on Americans continue to buy. So as long as American households spend money, GDP numbers stays well. So once they stop spending money, then it becomes an issue. And, you know, gas is up close to 50%. You know, some foods and things are up 25 to 30 to 40%.
Yeah.
Well, those are the necessities. You know, people need gas, they need food, and that's the basic. So, you know, they're not going to have enough disposable income after that to go out and buy the big couch or the TV or, you know, vacation or...
The inflation is enough now. The Social Security has said that we're going to raise it 6% next year. That's an unheard-of number for them.
Yeah, it's a big number. I mean, I think they haven't done it that high in, like, 25 years or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, that sounds great if you're retired. Oh, it's 6.6%, but when... Gas goes up 50%,
yeah.
Food goes up 25%.
Yeah, big deal.
I mean, it's, you know, and even Medicare, you know, when you're on a Social Security, you're on Medicare, and even the Medicare premiums, you know, go up. So, yeah, it's I don't know.
Do you feel like you are in a good spot and in control of your situation? You personally, Tom?
Well, my situation, I have many types of situations,
well,
family, personal household.
Talking finances and we're talking credit. Have a good handle on your situation.
Yeah, so I think for the most part, you want to have buying power when this thing gets hit. And the market hasn't corrected in 121 months. I mean, that's haven't corrected. It hasn't been in a recession. So what you want to have is available money to go in and buy at some point. And if you're in that position, once it comes back the other way, that's usually when you can make some pretty good money. And I'm talking, look at the history of the S&P, you're talking 30, 40, 50, 60%, even 90% in a relatively shorter period of time, like maybe, you know, 1 to 3 years. So that's what I would do is have bullets in the gun to go back and buy, just like real estate. I mean, I know you got some rentals and such, but you know, you want to be able to buy when there's foreclosures and no one wants real estate. Well, the only way to do that is have either money or some type of credit. And I think you want to do the same thing in the market. You want to have some money available, and you got to be patient, because this thing might not drop for 3 months, 6 months, but there will be a correction. There always is, and usually 20% plus, and then that's when you pounce.
So I, what I'm hearing you say is you have a plan, and or at least you're willing to put yourself out there with a plan, and I think that's where I wish I would see more people have a plan as simple as here's a budget, here's a savings plan, here's what I can do to protect myself a little bit, because it's amazing the number of people that come into my office that are buying homes or attempting to buy a home who don't really have anything saved, they don't know their budget, they don't have a good plan for what happens next week, next month, next year. And what you just described is, hey, let's have a plan for if there's a correction, I can do this. If there's not a correction, I've got a good plan anyway. You know, Russ, how many people come into your shop and you see they're putting it on credit card, but they're not putting it on a debit card. They're legitimately putting it on a credit card, and they're going to finance those repairs over 3 or 4 years.
Quite a few, and, you know, the spending, while it's high right now, they're dipping into savings. They're saving less. You know, one time we were saving a lot during this whole thing. But,
do you even know what the savings rates are? I know we got into some really interesting high numbers during COVID.
Yeah, so usually the saving rate's like 4% or so, and then during COVID it went all the way up to like 15, 16%. And then people actually paid off their credit cards. I think the credit cards payments or what they paid off went down by like 20%. You know, but... Now, I don't know about you, but we're getting clients that are actively selling their house or second house because the price is high, and their theory is, let's get the money and then, you know, do something with it. And maybe it's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, but when the next down market hits, they want to go in and buy again. Are you seeing that happening? Because we
are.
I mean, people will say, hey, my second house I was renting, I've never thought it'd get that high, and I'm getting out. I'm just going to see if I can buy back later.
Interestingly enough, not to that extent. I see a lot of people come in and say, hey, I want to sell my home right now because I can make a lot of money, and then I'm going to go buy a new home. And I kind of have to roll my eyes a little bit and say, well, wait a minute. If you're selling in today's market and you're buying in today's market, you're buying in the same market. So just because it feels like you're going to make a lot of money here, you're going to be buying a home in the same market. So percentage-wise, if you want a bigger home, you're going to pay much more. So you're not getting ahead necessarily. Now, you can move into a bigger, nicer home. You can put a big down payment down. Yes, all those things are great. But I see a lot of people that think they're going to make a lot of money on it, but they're really not, because they're not going to hold that money and go invest it somewhere else. They're going to put it right back into a home because they need to live somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of interesting things going on all at the same time. And, you know, you look around, can you find tradesmen and tradeswomen to put...
Proper pronoun.
put, you know, windows, flooring, painting. Have you tried to do any remodeling to either of your homes?
No, but I know it's a hot market right now.
You know, I know people that we're doing renovation loans for that they can't find people to go put stuff into their houses, and they're 3 to 6 months out just to get stuff done.
I've got a number that about the personal savings rates, which you asked.
Yeah.
The personal savings rate fell to 7.5% from 9.2% the prior month.
Now, what was the? Do you have anything there that says the max? Because I do believe, Tom,
yeah, it was in the
mid-teens.
A few months ago?
Mm-hmm.
I just know last month was 9.2. My fact checker just...
But it makes sense, because now that the economy's open up with COVID, people are going out spending money, going to restaurants, you know, and having...
That's a big fall in 1 month, from 9.2 to 7.5. That's huge.
And everything else is going up.
Yeah.
Commodities, food. What, if you talk to any of the restaurant guys, what is the biggest percentage increase of anything they have to buy to run their restaurants? Well, what
kind
one singular item that they have to go purchase?
I know meat's kind of high, right?
Yeah.
Nope. Cheese?
No.
Nope. No.
Okay, I'm stumped.
Oil.
What?
Like olive oil, vegetable oil.
Cooking oil.
Really?
82% increase. 82. Now, think of that. You know, how many, you drive down the road to a fast food restaurant and you're going to go get some French fries. Okay, the resources to cook that are 82% higher. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about any of the local restaurants that you're mentioning downtown. Those guys put out a ton of things that need oil, whether it's in the pan or in the fryer.
I heard one of the local restaurant people tell me that the mozzarella sticks almost doubled in price, and they stopped serving them. It just wasn't worth, I don't know why, but that's what they said.
Well, probably.
Well,
it's crazy.
Save on heart attacks. So, hey, this is Money Talk. Take another break here. Be right back. 5, 6 a.m.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Is a college education a dream you hold for your newborn? It's important to take steps to begin meeting this financial challenge. To learn about flexible college savings programs, contact Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They can help you plan today so you're prepared for tomorrow's college expenses. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Friday here, another beautiful day in Yuma. We're just kind of sitting here talking about money issues.
Even off air.
Derek Eggeberg from Academy, yeah. And we got Russ Clark here, so.
You had a question for my fact checker about inflation. You wanted to know predictions as far as next year in 12 months, what's our inflation rate going to be?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's good with predictions, but he has a lot of information that maybe he can extrapolate some range of numbers or something. But
yeah.
I don't think I'm going to like the number if he gives it.
Well, you know, the longer their inflation goes up, I think it's harder it's going to be on the economy. So is this a short-term problem, you know, 1 to 6 months? Is it a medium problem, you know, 6 months to 24 months? Or is this something that's set in, I don't know.
We don't know. But he gave us some numbers while we were on commercial break, because you had asked about how high the inflation or savings rate was during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote this. He said, from the end of the Great Recession to February 2020, the personal savings rate has averaged 7.25%. Since the start of the pandemic, however, it has averaged 17.9%. So the pandemic scared people. They were saving. So either they're done being scared or they got pushed because of high prices.
I wish there was a way to see how much people had put away. And let's say 12 months from now, how much is left? How much have people consumed? Because I see people, and we have talked about this, that
tapping
people
savings.
Are tapping savings to go buy big screen TVs because they feel comfortable that they have that big nest egg. Well, now let's go spend that nest
egg. And they want to reward themselves. Yeah. If you've been locked up, you want to go out and... one thing about the car industry, I don't know if you guys saw the numbers come in a couple of days ago.
I didn't.
Had one of the worst... car sales, and I believe for the quarter,
that
down,
makes sense, though.
Down 61%.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
No.
And basically, a lot of had to do with the chips.
The chips.
Well, that's why it makes sense. You can't get
them. How many vehicles are sitting waiting to be finished that they just need the computer chips?
Well, you can look at the lots here on the new car dealers. They don't have them. They don't have cars.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah,
there's none.
Yeah.
Or very few. You know, they're just spotty.
Have you seen the Google Earth shots of some of the storage locations for both GM
and Ford?
I mean, it's amazing that you go back 2 years and there's no vehicles there, and now you go look at the shots, and it's just absolutely packed with high-end vehicles.
Well, they built them without the chips.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But once those chips come into play, then we're going to have a gluttony of cars, right?
Old cars.
There goes the used car market.
Yeah.
Right now, the used car market is very hot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you asked about the oil prices, and my fact checker, Edward, McDonald's is raising prices by 15% due to oil prices jumping. Now, that's significant. That's huge. I don't know what your Big Mac's going to cost.
But think of, again, those are the things that we as consumers don't see, but the restaurants, which most of the mom and pop and you know, privately owned restaurants, they're running on razor-thin margin. Let's be honest. Everybody looks at a restaurateur and says, oh, my gosh, you must make a ton of money.
He's rich.
And you and I know they're not. They're the guy or gal who gets paid last. They've got a huge labor cost. Oh, by the way, with
food waste.
You know, food waste. Wow. But now you have things like this that you know every restaurant is going to have to raise prices. It's a question of do they do it and get ahead and keep themselves in a safe position, or do they wait and go, man, I should have done that 6 months ago, and now I can't pay the bills. Because like you said, Tom, what is this holiday season going to look like? Is it going to be a great holiday season? Is it going to be, you know, a tight holiday season?
I think it's going to be hurt just due to product not being available. I mean, there's going to be these last-minute shoppers that are going to get nothing.
Now, I do think, though, if they don't have much product to buy, they probably will reward themselves other ways, like go out and eat more, maybe take a little family trip, go skiing or something. So I think... The service food side might make out of this because, you know, people will figure out how to reward themselves if they can't do it with a gift.
You asked a question about savings. Treasury statistics show that an average family of four making $60,000 a year saved an additional $2,400 with an average balance of $9,400. So they were saving.
They were saving. Now, with that average balance of 9,000, here would be my question is, in a year, let's go back and revisit that. And do they still have $9,000, $10,000, $11,000 in savings, or is it dwindled back down to $2,000, $3,000 because they've tapped that savings?
You know, I think the price, the savings went up because of confidence and not knowing the future, not knowing what's going on.
Uh-huh. And not just going, I mean, not being able to go out in the public.
How many people eat out a week or a month?
I mean, you can't eat out when COVID.
So we keep talking inflation, and the one thing that I want to go back to every time, because we look at gas prices, but Tom and Russ, for how long have we been talking about, geez, the market with 0% auto loans, 0% credit cards, ridiculously low interest rates on houses. You know, you understand that the cost of debt is not factored into inflation.
No.
So you know, let's say you now go buy a new car and it's 6-7% interest, or your house goes from 2.5% to 4%. That is not factored into inflation, but it is factored into your household budget.
I've got an answer for you when you asked about inflation in 12 months. 15 calls to fellow economists, so he made 15 calls.
I got to get a faster phone.
Has a belief that the savings rate will drop to 2% over the next 12 months due to inflation. So we're at 7.5 right now. It's going to drop down to 2%.
So
these are huge numbers, particularly since you had an average of over 7%, you know, since the Great Recession.
So in theory, the pandemic, you're in the high teens, and you could get down to 2% and be basically a zero savings.
Because so much money is coming out of, disposable income is coming because of just price increases on staples, you know, staples that you need, food, gas, energy. Look at heating oil on the East Coast, it's doubled. And they haven't got cold yet, but these people are going to be screaming for very cold one way or the other.
And I hope, you know, and again, there's a whole different business that you and I don't even understand living in Yuma, Arizona. But you have people who are purchasing their heating oil like a commodity a year, 2 years, 3 years in advance, locking
some
in prices. Some of them do.
Yeah,
and so
big businesses.
Some people will do very well, and some people will not. I actually know individual people back in Wisconsin that they buy their heating oil for 2 or 3 or 4 years at a time,
mm-hmm.
and prepay it, so they're locked in.
A lot of people don't know about it, but heating oil, a lot of homes, residential homes, even have big tanks, storage mm-hmm. tanks of oil.
Isn't that crazy? And we don't even think that.
I was like that in Delaware. When I lived in Delaware, we had some very similar.
Midwinter, you'll open your windows and make a cup of coffee and enjoy the outside weather here.
Yeah. A little different, but with all this inflation, I don't know that people really understand the impact that it's going to have on the average family. The average family is spending a ton more money.
And there is the one thing that I wish we could all do better is teach people budgeting, investing, how to manage the money throughout, and pay attention to these things. Because I don't think you and I see, and again, maybe it's we talk about this all the time, and so it's just easier to see it. But gas prices, how many people don't realize the percentage increase that gas has gone up over the last, say, 18 months?
Most. But it's been like, 60% or better here locally? Because
mm-hmm.
we were $2 a gallon.
We were $2 a gallon.
We're
what
three,
is it now?
$3.25, $3.30.
Okay, I saw one $3.49, so let's call that $3.50.
Yeah.
That's a 75% increase.
Yeah.
That 75% increase in your gas prices
and a lot of people will spend a couple hundred bucks a month on gas. Now it's a couple hundred plus... 75% increase.
Well, here's the scary thing. My pickup truck is a 2014, okay? Has a 35-gallon gas tank. It was the bigger gas tank that was in there. I have never, ever, since I've owned that truck until this last weekend, put over $100 into the tank.
Oh.
Ever.
Yeah.
And I put over $100 into the tank.
Well, congratulations. That's great.
But again, you know, again, if you don't see that on a regular basis or pay attention, most people, you have to get gas.
And a tank will last you how long? A couple of weeks?
2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, and
So it went from, your gas bill is going to take an extra $150 a month out of your paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Just the gas.
Just in the gas.
Gas.
But then we're going to go get food, and then we're going to go buy the paper products, and then we're going to go get all of the other things that have gone up.
I didn't even understand that thing about oil buying it early, but I got a message from Ed that in New England, the average customer locks in oil prices for 2 years forward. I had no idea about that.
Because you and I are in Yuma, Arizona. We just don't think of heating oil as a commodity.
Delaware wasn't a big user of heating oil, so it was more like... You pay as you go, but I guess where you're in New England and a little more brutal on the temperatures, you lock that in.
I can imagine, but I can't imagine going through winter, you know, and you see some of these people who they budget incorrectly and don't have their heating oil tanks.
Well, we just need the government to give us more money.
Yeah, no, it's
no, but that's what got us into trouble, we think.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my opinion, anyway.
So,
it's going to kill us.
I can't
You're out of time, by the way. You got to go.
We got to go. I'd say
goodbye.
Thank you to all of our men and women actively serving in our military. Have a great and safe Halloween, everyone. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management Investment Advisory Services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.